unsure. So if you're looking for someone to talk to or want information about resources in your area, call the Youth Line at 962-YOUTH. That's 962-9688 in the Toronto area, or 1-800-268-YOUTH from anywhere else.
RP Plus is a spoken word news show produced by culturally diverse youth in the Regent Park area. Produced by the Regent Park Focus Coalition, the show profiles the art and culture of young people, as well as issues to do with youth, health, the Regent Park, and other urban communities.
Tune into the voices, music, and poetry of urban community youth
on Regent Park Plus.
Tuesdays
at 7:30 p.m.
on CKLN 88.1.
And I'm here with my other host, Calvin.
What's up, people? If you've ever turned into our past shows, you'll know that RP Plus is produced by youth for you.
On today's show, we'll be taking a look at current news events affecting young people. Youth everywhere need to be aware of what's going on in our society. We need to step forward and talk out loud because the man is not listening. So Calvin and I put together a little news show. Call it the RP Plus News. Welcome to the RP Plus News. In today's headline, we have, should we cross the picket line? Student caught in the middle.
Teen welfare moms forced back to class.
New Act would see 14 and 15-year-old offenders sentenced as adults.
Should we cross the picket line? Students across Ontario are facing the difficult choice of whether to cross picket lines set up this week by striking QP workers. QP Local 4400, representing 14,000 support staff workers across the Toronto District School Board, are fighting for job security and better wages. Pickets are friendly, safe, and are only meant to provide information, says Janet Davis, vice president of QP, in response to government reports that pickets are intimidating students not going to class or school. Based, however, upon the student attendance on the picket lines, it is clear that a large percent of students feel affected by the strike and are supporting QP in their battle to prevent future layoffs. Jeff Kugler, principal at Park Public School in Regent Park, has some insights why this may be.
At Park, there are about 43 staff members who are on strike. They include our secretaries, our caretakers, our educational assistants, our ESL teachers, our adult programs, our parenting center, our lunchroom supervisors. Many, many people are on strike at Park, and they've had a huge effect on the school. You know, I mean, it's like a different place without 43 people that normally are here. So the kids are affected in a big way because programs are different and changed, and they don't get the kind of support that they're used to getting and deserve to get. And teaching staff are affected because they don't have the support that they're used to having, and certainly the administration is affected because we don't have the support that we're used to having. But I guess you'd have to say that the people that are most affected are the people that are out walking the picket line. For example, in our grade one classrooms at Park School, we have what we call
Hell no! I mean, QP is fighting against education budget cuts. They're fighting to keep the staff that's needed in school. Think about future students. They won't have the same opportunity as you did.
What do you mean? The earlier the strikes are over, the earlier you graduate and get your diploma.
No, I don't think so. Sorry.
Well, I'm saying I'm supporting my teachers. True say, if, you know, the government isn't hearing QP, so why should they listen to students? I think, you know, go to class. It's better for you. Even if their teacher's not even there, go at least help your teachers out on the picket lines and in the front.
Okay, put it this way, right? If you have younger brothers or sisters, won't you like to know, okay, they're the future generation, they're coming up, going to school. Won't you like to know that they're taking care of education, well done, everything set for them?
All right, that's cool, all right. Let's go back to Jeff. Let's hear a little bit more what Jeff has to say.
It's a big help to the teacher, but the reason they're there really is to just be another adult voice and another pair of hands, but mostly another adult voice for the kids. Who come to school many not speaking English, many, you know, with all kinds of issues to deal with, and just having another person there to support them is a really important thing. So they're not there. We have a couple of educational assistants in the school who are here for particular children who have particularly difficult needs. And those kids for the last week have been at home because they can't be at school because that assistant, that person that supports them every day in the classroom is not there to be there. I guess, you know, like all of the kids, you know, I'm the lunchroom supervisor. Me and the vice principal are now the lunchroom supervisor, and our kids are used to, you know, five people that are with them every day at lunchtime and have a certain routine and a certain, our cook, you know, the food programs that Park serves, because a lot of kids need to have those programs, are just not there. So kids are going home for lunch. Very few are bringing lunch to school, so we are assuming that people have made alternate plans for what their kids are going to eat, but they're not getting what they're used to at school, and I think it's just a big change in routine for our kids is, you know, a difficult thing. They need the certain routine and the certain thing that you're going to expect what's going to happen, and most kids do, and that's just not there for them. But I just wanted to say that I don't necessarily, like, while I think the strike has a big effect and a big impact on the kids, I think that it needs to be looked at in the context of what would happen if these people were not there forever. And I think really that's what the strike is about. That people are out on strike to protect the jobs, to protect their jobs, but really it protects the positions that are supporting the kids in the schools. So that if we're saying the kids are affected now because they've been out for a little bit over a week, imagine what it would be like for the kids if those positions were gone completely. And for me, that's really what the strike is about, to protect those jobs.
All right, that's true. The government should be putting back money into the education system. Because like we need these people back on the job straight up for all our students to be out there.
Okay, the next issue is the Young Offender Act. And go ahead, Calvin, explain it.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm supposed to explain it. Yeah, true. Okay. New Act could see 14 and 15 year old offenders sentenced as adults. This Thursday, Justice Minister Anne McClellan will bring to Parliament the Youth Criminal Justice Act. This act would replace the current Young Offenders Act that has been in place for 15 years. The new act will lower the age that youth can be tried as adults from 16 to 14. Parents can now also get charged and thrown in jail for up to 2 years if a young offender is released from custody under the parent's supervision and if the youth commits another offense. The law will also allow newspapers, radios, and TV to say the names of young offenders. So tell me, Roxanne, do you think that 14 is too young an age to be heard?
Hell no. First of all, if you do the crime, you must be able to do the time. I mean, 14, okay. They're in school, they bully, like what? They're in grade 9, 14. They go and they bully middle school people, and they're like taking their money and all that. You telling me they don't know what they're doing?
That's true. You know what? I have to agree on this one because I think that, you know, kids are getting more rambunctious at an earlier age than ever before. And I do think the Young Offenders Act was very lenient. I mean, it's time that they kind of stricken this up.
That's true still. Okay, let me see.
What about parents? I mean, like, these our parents are getting thrown away up into jail for not looking after the kids. Parents still have to discipline their kids. I mean, that's part of it. But what my real point is, like, you know, the government is telling you you can't hit and you can't punish your kid. So how is the kid going to get disciplined? The father's going to say, okay, Junior, you're going to stay home and you're not going to go out and commit no crimes. And he can't hit the child. The child in this time and age is not going to listen to his dad or his mom or the guardian or whatever. And he's not going to run into his room like Leave It to Beaver days. He's going to go. He's going to cause trouble. The father can't hit. The father can't hit his child. You know, the government has to kind of, if they're going to charge the parents, they're going to have to kind of loosen the kind of charges where the discipline charges where hitting and child abuse is. Because that's the only way we're going to really discipline children.
Well, this is how I see it, okay? If a kid does a crime and they go, what? Because they're underage, they won't get, like, nothing really. The parents could sign for them, saying, okay, it's my responsibility, I'm going to take responsibility for this kid. And they take the kid home, the kid's not listening. All you need to do is go back to court and say, listen to me, I signed this paper saying that I'm taking responsibility for my child. He or she ain't obeying it. So here, it's in your hand because I can't control it no more. That's how I see it.
All right, cool, Roxanne. All right, what's the next issue?
Well, this is one I know I'm going to love. The next issue is teen pregnancy. Our next issue involves teen welfare moms being forced to class.
Hold, wait a minute. Does that mean that my baby mother is going back to school?
That's not the topic.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'll get back to you on that one later. Teenage mothers on welfare in Ontario will now have to return to high school and take parenting classes as soon as possible after their babies are born or lose their social assistance check. The Ontario government legislation is the first in Canada to force teenage moms and social assistants back to school. It sets teen moms apart from other mothers on social assistance who don't have to join the government work for welfare program until their children are in school. We visited Jesse Center today for teens, which runs a secondary school program for parenting teenagers. The school runs from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday to Thursday, and student could earn 3 credits per semester. Only 8 spots are available, and there is a waiting list. We talked to 19-year-old Penny, who is a former student in the program. Penny is now attending a regular high school in Toronto.
To go to classes here in Jesse's, correct? Okay, what's the difference from going to school here in Jesse's and going to school out there?
Well, for one, I had support because I decided to nurse. So whenever my son, I didn't have to worry about him, like, being hungry or nothing. I could just go upstairs and feed him when I needed to. And and if you can do homework, they understood because you do have a child to take care of. And you went to school Monday to Thursday, and you have 3 classes, so it's not like a bunch of work. Is like they don't give you a bunch of work plus your responsibility to take care of your child. And now it's hard. They don't understand that children do get sick, and if they have a fever or diarrhea, that you can't go to school for. You can't bring your child to daycare for 24 hours. So there's different reasons why you can't attend, and the school doesn't understand that. They think you're just using it as an excuse not to come or something.
Okay, right now, how old is your child?
He's 19 months.
Okay, how soon was it for you to go back to school, like, after your child was born?
My son was 6 months when I returned to school, and I came here at Jesse's, but I don't think I would be able to go to a regular school, for one, because I was nursing, and for two, because at a normal school, the work and everything they expect you to have all the time, like the other students, like you have no other responsibilities. And
okay, you said that you went back to school 6 months, so you had 6 months to spend with your son. So right now they're saying you have to go back to school right after. What do you think about that?
Well, I guess they never had children, because right after you have a baby, you're exhausted and you don't know what to expect, because your child might have problems, or you worry about your child a lot because you're not used to, you don't know really how to take care of them. You basically have to learn as you go.
What other concern do you have about this policy? Is it just the time frame?
No. One other thing that concerns me is for some reason, if the mother, like, can't deal with school plus her responsibility as a mother, and she gets cut off welfare, what is she supposed to do? What money is she supposed to get to support her children? Are they supposed to starve or something? And another thing is the child's at daycare during the day while the mother's at school. So what time does the mother have to do homework and whatever, then they're going to fall behind, not get good grades. And of course, they're eventually just going to drop out. And then where does that leave the children? And in a way, I don't think they're not really supporting the mothers to go back to school. They're just forcing them, saying you have to go to school or you're not going to get welfare. That's like saying if you don't go to school, you know, your children are going to starve. That's not right.
So, Calvin, tell me, what did you think about all this?
This, you mean the topic about... Yeah, well, I just don't think that these young teen moms are not giving any choice. The teachers, if they went to school, the teachers wouldn't understand the stress or responsibility they have at home. Like, they go home, they're going to have all this homework to do. Meantime, they have, baby Nikki to take care of. And, you know, baby Nikki is a big responsibility. They have to look after that, too, besides that. And the teachers aren't seeing that. Just like, okay, get your chemistry assignment done. That's it. They don't really care about the next day. That's the problem with this team,
Hold up. That ain't right. That is not right. First of all, after you have a kid, with this system saying that when you have a kid, you're being forced to go back to school. I 100% agree with them. Because first of all, you go to school, you get your education to move on to give your child a better life. That's how I see it. You need to give your child a better life. Move on. You're saying the teachers won't understand all this. Sit down and talk to the teachers. What? After school, you can always stay like what? Stay half an hour or an hour later. If your child's in daycare, you have until 5 o'clock to pick up the child. So what are you supposed to do? Between when school finished, which is 3:16 and 5 o'clock, you can go and get help from your teachers instead of going home, picking up your child. Yeah, bonding. Bond with your child after 5. That's...
After 5, what about the homework? Like, what should you do your homework during, like, from 3:30 or 3 o'clock to 5?
There's something called a nap, you know? You put your kid to sleep. 8, 9 o'clock, the kid should be in bed. You have what? Time, right there, 9 o'clock. You have time to do your homework, go to sleep, wake up in the morning, start your day all over again.
What about socializing?
Yeah,
they can't socialize?
Yeah, you can do that. What? You tell me you get homework every day?
Yeah.
That's what weekends are for, socializing.
Okay, well, so you have the weekend. Okay, so what about the... Okay, straight up homework. Okay, you have... You get off of school 3 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
And then what if there's extracurricular activities? You have your baby at daycare. Okay, well, first of all, how are we getting the daycare? Is that paid for by the government? The government's covering the daycare?
It's called, most people have assistant on their daycare. They don't have to pay for their daycare. Once they go to school, they put their kid in daycare. Some of them, I'm not saying all of them, have this privilege of putting their child in daycare. And they will, and they will not go to school and stay home and watch TV all day, or should I say soap opera all day.
Oh, is this coming from, like, personal experience here? You kind of know about soap opera?
Listen to me, okay? I have a son. I go to school, work, and I still spend time with my child, still have time to socialize. So, what?
Yeah, that's more power to you still. You know, if everybody follows the example of Roxanne, this world will be a better place. But this is not
you
happening.
Got that right no,
but,
yet.
But, you know, okay, fine. Let's give the last word to Penny. Let's see what Penny has to say.
Okay, quoted from this article, it is said if the parents graduated and completed the 35 hours of parenting classes, they get $500 towards their education or their child's education. Do you think these parents are doing it for the money?
Well, I feel that it's like a bribe. Like, they're bribing teen parents to go and go to school, suffer with school and all the work and all the stress of school and being a parent just to get $500. Like, $500 makes you a good parent or something. I think there are some things that they can do to make this whole teen welfare moms forced back to work. And one is to open a facility like Jesse's where the children are upstairs being taken care of so you don't have to worry about your children. And you can nurse if you want to nurse because nursing is a way to save money because you don't get that much money on welfare. And where the teachers understand if your child's sick or you couldn't do the homework, and where you're around people who understand, who can support you if you're having problems.
And here's her answer. Sorry about that technical difficulty. Well, that ends another segment of RP Plus. I would like to thank Vin, our tech, Penny and Jeff Kugler.
RP Park Plus is produced by the Regent Park Focus Coalition, home to Catch the Flavor newspaper and iVideo Youth Productions. If you have any comments about today's show, please contact us at 416-863-1074.
I'm Roxanne.
And I'm Calvin.
Tune in same time next Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Stay tuned for Kanama Can. Right now, we're going to my favorite, Usher, My Way.
Everything you want to make your girl say, ooh, ooh, why she so fly, she beats me, but she wanna get freaky, you can get mad if you want to, say whatever you want, but she still gon' give it up, she likes it my way, my way. Two-seaters for kicks, new kicks, all in the mix, all turn, no tricks, they turn for me, catching bricks don't concern me, so forget it, little midget, my mind on seven digits, before I pay heaven skies to visit my digits, I'm pulling all stops, locking down all spots, saying you can't front, so from this day forth, you know I'm all about heat, and what I do, be the major league, that's why your girlfriend's paging me, and she know, like he know, you don't see her like I see her, so she's out the door, shotgun in my drop, having fun with the dun system, bass on conversation, about how she been chasing me, and facing me, saying give it to me now, baby, my way, my way, you can't satisfy me, she keeps running back to see me, do it my your girl who let me get this far, then ooh-wee. She had to have it every chance that she could get. But you think you a baller, and I ain't gonna call her. Clip that, you can get mad if you want to. Say whatever you want, but she's still gonna give it up. She likes it my way, my way.
Back to see me doing my way, my way.
RP Plus is a spoken word news show produced by culturally diverse youth in the Regent Park area. Produced by the Regent Park Focus Coalition, the show profiles the art and culture of young people as well as issues to do with youth, health, the Regent Park, and other urban communities. Tune into the voices,
music,
and poetry
of urban community youth
on Regent Park Plus.
Tuesdays
at 7:30 p.m.
on CKLN 88.1.
Line is a province-wide toll-free peer support phone service operated by youth for youth aged 26 and under who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, two-spirited, or unsure. So if you're looking for someone to talk to or want information about resources in your area, call the youth line at 962-YOUTH. That's 962-9688 in the Toronto area or 1-800-268-YOUTH from anywhere else.
Be nice.